Jericho is located on the wide plain of the Jordan River Valley at the foot of the Judean Mountains. The ancient ruins are actually only about 8 miles northwest of where the Jordan River empties into the Dead Sea. It's only 5 miles west of the Jordan River, and it's at about 800 feet below sea level, which means it has a hot tropical climate. It only receives a few inches of rain every year, and yet it's an oasis, known for its abundance of palm and banana trees. By New Testament times, a new city had been built near Jericho. Herod the Great built his winter capital about a mile south of the ancient ruins. I mean, that made sense. Jerusalem was 25 to 2,700 feet above sea level, but Herod's palace in Jericho was 800 feet below. A lot of difference in climate. In 1950, this new Jericho was excavated, and they learned that Herod's palace, the palace itself, was about the length of a football field, including one end zone. It was a big palace. But there was also significant archaeological work done at the original site, the Old Testament site. From 1907 to 1911, a couple of German scholars worked there. A British man made significant progress from 1930 to 36. And he was convinced that he had found hard evidence of Joshua's account of the destruction of the city. He discovered an inner wall about 12 feet thick and an outer wall about 6 feet thick. And then from 52 to 58, Kathleen Kenyon directed some excavations there. The walls that Garsong, the British man, identified, she dated them to about the 3rd century B.C. One wall dated to 58-59 B.C. with a plus or minus 100-year difference for carbon-14 dating. So it's an old city. In 1954, she discovered part of the wall about 21 foot tall on the western edge of the tell, or the mountain of ruins. A large moat had been scooped out of the rock at the foot of the wall. A huge circular tower had been built, and it dated to about, she said, 7,000 B.C. And all of this just verified that Jericho was a legitimate, real city with massive, massive walls and fortifications. And that city had, in fact, collapsed. It had fallen flat. When Moses died, God, of course, had chosen Joshua as Israel's next leader. And he prepared the Israelites to travel on the third day after assuming leadership. And he then sent two spies ahead to check out Jericho. In Jericho, you remember the story, Rahab the harlot took the spies into her home and she hid them. But the question is, why would she do that? Well, Joshua 2, and you might want to open your Bible to Joshua 2, verse 8. Now, before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, these are the Israelite men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard, we've heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. Watch this. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Of course, after hiding the men, she misdirected those who were looking for them. And then she asked them to promise her that when they conquered the city, that her family would be spared. Look at verse 12. Now therefore I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token and spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. Well, the men swore an oath to her that her family's lives would be spared. A scarlet thread would need to be tied to the window from which these men were about to escape. And under that condition, everyone in that room would be spared. Of course, the spies returned to their camp and to Joshua. Joshua 2:24, and they said to Joshua, truly the Lord has delivered all the land into our hands, for indeed all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us. And the next morning, the Israelites broke camp and moved to the edge of the Jordan River. They followed very detailed directions, which involved a miracle when the Jordan River stopped flowing. They moved on across the riverbed to Gilgal and ate the Passover feast. And this is interesting. After the Passover feast, the people began eating grain and unleavened bread again, because for the first day in 40 years, the manna ceased. And Israel again was fed from the harvest of the crops. I suspect they enjoyed those first loaves of bread, wouldn't you? Jericho was ready to be conquered. And this is really interesting. A commander was sent to Joshua by God. Look at chapter 5, verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? So he said, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandals off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. And then the commander, this angel, if you will, give Joshua the battle plan. Verse 1 of chapter 6. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king, and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go around the city once, then you shall do for 6 days. And seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they have made the long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout, then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up every man straight before him. And so here comes the seventh day. And they march around the city seven times. And then, verse 20, so the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets. And it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him. They took the city and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, oxen, sheep, and donkey, with the edge of the sword. Of course, as promised, Rahab and her family were spared. But the city was burned, destroyed, never to be inhabited again. And it hasn't been since, although one individual tried. Only the silver and the gold and the objects of brass and iron were kept. How significant, think about this, how significant is it that the author of Hebrews points back to Jericho as an illustration of heroic faith? You know, in Hebrews 11, we have the Hall of Fame of the faithful, if you will. Great examples of faith. And in verses 30 and 31, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. After they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. Think about the incredible message here of verse 30. Since the walls fell by faith, did that mean they would have fallen whether Israel marched around the city or not? Actually, the text says that wall fell by faith after the marching. The marching was necessity. This is a faith building and a faith instructing passage. Bottom line, we know that it really did happen. I saw a video recently of a fellow that was over there not that long ago, and he actually showed the mud bricks that had collapsed. And the way they fell was absolute proof that the wall just collapsed. The massive walls collapsed. I remember, in contrast to that, watching a disgusting documentary that attempted to explain how the walls fell due to natural factors. Isn't it interesting that history is filled with stories of archaeologists who set out to disprove the Bible's accuracy only to become believers? That's happened over and over. And so here's the facts. There was an ancient city called Jericho. The massive walls of that city fell down, leading to its destruction. And we know they fell by faith. I was a little amused and then very disgusted when that documentary set out to explain why the walls fell down. We know, right? We know why they fell. Bible says because of faith. But what does that mean? Hebrews 11:30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. Question: when did the Israelites believe by faith that the walls were going to fall? When did they believe that? That's an interesting question. Obviously, they believed that before the walls fell. After the walls fell, they didn't have to believe it by faith because they saw it with their eyes. They don't have to trust that it's going to happen. It's happened. Why did they believe with all their hearts that the walls would fall? Was it because they knew that, this is something this documentary said, it's that constant marching set up vibrations that broke the mud bricks apart and weakened the walls? And then the sound of all their voices when they yelled out at after the seventh time around the city on the seventh day, that was just the final straw to break the camel's back. I have a Greek word for that. Baloney. No way. No way. Listen, we know that there's only one way that those massive walls could be brought down. And it had every reason to do with why the Jordan River quit flowing when the Red Sea parted when they crossed, when the Israelites got ready to cross. God made it happen. God would see to it that the walls fell down. Not their marching, not their shouting. It had nothing to do with anything they controlled. They could not flatten those walls. But God could. And God would make them fall. And the Israelites believed it. The Hebrews only needed to trust God. And, of course, trust is always conjoined with obedience. Without obedience, there's no trust. They always go together. And so the Hebrews needed to trust God, obey God, and then just watch Him keep His promise. Verse 10, Joshua 6. Now Joshua commanded the people, saying, "You shall not shout or make," this is interesting, "you shall not make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout. And then you shall shout." Can you imagine being on the walls of Jericho watching this, listening, trembling? From the Jews, there was not one single taunt. That's what you would expect. "You guys have had it. You got to get it." No, not a word. They didn't say a word to one another. There was not a complaint. There was just the sound of the trumpets and marching feet. How long did it take them to walk around the city one time? And maybe even more interesting, how long did it take them to march around the city seven times on the seventh day? The dust must have been hanging in the air. Choking them. Settling on everything. But those marching could hardly wait for the seventh day to arrive. Now, those in Jericho didn't notice anything different at first. But if you read carefully, on the seventh day, the priests were not blowing their horns. The only sound was the steady cadence of marching feet for hours and hours. You know, sometimes silence is deafening. And the silence must have been startling when they finally stopped marching. It's dead quiet. And then suddenly the trumpet sounded. And more than a million people shouted to the top of their lungs with a great shout. And then the walls started crumbling. Listen to me. Faith is not just about what you accept as truth. Faith's a lot more than that. It's all about what you believe about God. In other words, are you really ready for Him to be in control of your life? That's the challenge of faith. Is He genuinely the master of your life? If He told you to do something that makes no logical sense, would you do it? That's what He's asking them to do. If He told you to stand on your head and whistle Dixie, I'm not sure I could stand on my head long enough to whistle Dixie, but would you try to do it? Do you understand that the battle plan of marching around the city 13 times in 1 week, that doesn't make any logical sense unless you know who God is, right? It's such a beautiful message. Christ Jesus lived. And He really died. And that's a historical fact as verified as any character in history. It's history. It's logged in history. But the fact that He lived and He died, that's not the end of the story. Can you, by faith, fully accept Danny, can you accept that he died for you? Can you accept that he died for you? Now we're talking about faith. By faith, do you accept that his blood paid the price for your sins and continues to wash your sins away? By faith, what would you be willing to do to receive the benefits of that death? Now we're talking about faith. Because from the world's perspective, all of this is illogical, right? It's all illogical. In the book of Acts, we find people, when confronted with the gospel message, basically doing the same thing. They all ask, what do we do? What do we do? In Acts 2:37, after learning who Jesus really was, those Jews gathered there on the day of Pentecost. Men and brethren, what shall we do? In Acts chapter 9, verse 6, Saul, later to be known as the Apostle Paul, found out who Jesus really was. He had a little talk with Jesus out on the road to Damascus. And you remember what his first question? Lord, what do you want me to do? Once folks learn who Jesus is and what he did for them, those who believe always ask the same question. What do I do? Again, faith is always conjoined with what you do. And in the Bible, of course, they always get the same answer. Peter said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you don't believe in Jesus, that's illogical. Totally illogical. That can't happen. And so some people say it's nonsense for all different kinds of reasons. But again, what did the Israelites believe as they marched around the city 13 times? On that seventh day, can you imagine the excitement, the anticipation of finishing that seventh lap? Blow the horns, blow the horns, blow the horns. In Acts chapter 2, what did the Jews believe on the day of Pentecost when they repented of their sins and they were immersed or baptized in water and were raised to walk in newness of life? What did they believe? By faith, they understood what had happened. Think about this. What does faith do? Back to Hebrews 11:30, we kind of started there. By faith, the wall of Jericho fell after they were encircled for 7 days. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. By faith, you have been saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. By faith. Not one Israelite watched those walls fall and then said, look what we did. You thought about that? Boy, aren't we something? No. Mm-mm. And not one Jew on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 repented of their sins, were baptized into Christ, and then said, wow, look what I did. Look what I accomplished. But every one of them, standing outside the walls of Jericho and standing outside the baptistries of Jerusalem in the first century, realized this is what God has done. By faith, I heard, I believed, I obeyed, and look what God has done. The blood of Christ has washed away all my sins. As I have trusted him and obeyed him. Those old ancient ruins of Jericho, I'd love to go over there and visit those. Not right now. There's some things going on over in the Bible lands, but What an incredible lesson of faith. The lessons of the Old Testament, faith of the Old Testament, are so important today. That's the reason they're in Hebrews 11. And so tonight, live by faith. Be obedient to the Lord and trust in the promises. If you need to come, please come now while we stand and sing.